If you have your Bibles, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Was anybody here? Who wasn't here Sunday? Not that I'm pointing you out or nothing. Okay. Wasn't here Sunday? Okay. Wasn't here for the Sunday morning message? How many of you were here for the Sunday morning message? Okay, good. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to dismantle Jehoshaphat. This sounded like a good idea earlier today when God put it on my heart to do. And when y'all's response right then kind of made me nervous. So I'm going to preach with my head down. No, really, I'm not really going to preach. I'm going to teach. Because I was sitting with somebody, a family, I think it was Tuesday, Wednesday of this week, and I said something. I said, man, I would really love to go back and teach that message and some points in it. Because there's some deep meaning in there, and it was so, we went through it so fast and so furious. See, and I'm going to kind of give this to you. Does anybody ever want to look behind the scenes, like at a play or a movie or how things are made? Okay, good. Because tonight I'm going to give you a look in behind the scenes of what it takes to make a message for me. Amen? What it's like for me to make a message in the same In that same mold, I'm going to teach about 5 points from Sunday's message that really stood out to me that made the core of the message. But in the ferociousness of the Holy Ghost and what he was doing here Sunday, some of those points dropped off and other points came out. Amen? And that was awesome. But I think a lot of times as a church and as church members, we eat like that. We eat the Word of God and it's so good, but then we want to move on because we don't think there's, I'll just say maybe it's a pastor thing or a preacher thing. I think, man, there's no way I can go back and teach that because I just taught that the other day, right? And I think we miss a lot. So I want to dig in. And let me explain how this message came about. Jehoshaphat, I done a Bible study with my son. We were going through that genealogy, and we were going over it, and then God, it stuck in my spiritual crawl, right? And I wrote down, I got to Jehoshaphat, and when I got to Jehoshaphat, the Holy Spirit of God rang a bell, and he said, there was a battle in which Jehoshaphat put the worshipers in the front. That's all God had to say, so I went to find that. And I went to find that, and I started praying. I said, God, if this is the message, let me see it. And we started reading and praying and reading and praying. And we're reading it, and it's just coming alive right off the page. And I knew from the first read-through, this is Sunday's message, and it's powerful. And I didn't even wait till I had any of the points together or anybody right until I told people, man, you got to be here Sunday. This is going to be off the charts good. And then my human side wakes up and says, well, it would be good if you had put this together now. So then we go back and we start pulling apart the points. And I've already said this to you. So in the midst of the fire, man, it gets, you got 40, 45 minutes and it just pours out. So then I said on Monday and Tuesday, and I look back over this message and I think to myself, man, those folks needed, I needed to hear this and I needed to see this. Are y'all ready to see some of that? And you're going to, you think, well, I already heard it. Well, if you did and didn't get anything out of it, great. But if you can get some more out of it, wouldn't you want some more out of it? I would. Amen. So we're going to dive into that. First of all, I want y'all to go to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1 with me, okay? Verse 1, and I'm going to break this down the best I can for you, okay? And we're only going to do about five verses. But I'm going to kind of break them down as deep as I can as far as what God wanted me to show you on Sunday, but it just got, God did his thing. He became the preacher Sunday. So it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside of the Ammonites. Okay, so you got the children of Moab, that's a nation. You got Ammon, that's a nation. And then besides the Ammonites, they came against them, Jehoshaphat, to battle. That means there was a host of other nations that joined them. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just three nations. It was two nations, and then like other nations and other groups of people just jumped in on it. Do y'all understand? And listen, and you heard it in the message Sunday. They said early, what they were talking about during Exodus, there were times where these same groups of nations, God could allow the children of Israel to destroy them. But he didn't. Because guess what? These nations actually were beneficial to God, to the Jewish people, and also to the lineage and bringing forth of Jesus Christ. Ruth is a Moabite girl. Okay, y'all remember now? So, okay, I could go on in different areas and different places, but God still had to pull some things out of these nations that were beneficial to him. And I wanted y'all to hear this. Listen, there are things in your life that are beneficial to you, but then yet they can become liabilities and even enemy to you later on in life. Amen? Your lungs, your heart, your brain, your spleen, your kidneys, you name it, right? Man, they're good to have. Amen, preacher. That's good preaching. They're good to have. Nobody wants to be without vital organs. But guess what? Your vital organs then can become your worst enemy. Hey, man, this happened. We've seen an ear, right? Your health can become your worst enemy. Your friends can become your worst enemy. Somebody who was beneficial to you and brought great things into your life can one day be your worst nightmare. God, y'all need to help me on a Wednesday night. Have you ever had somebody that was good in a season, but later on in life they threatened your sanity? Amen. Threatened your health, threatened your life. Right? Okay. That's what these are as a comparison. At one point in time, God, they were beneficial to God, beneficial to you, beneficial. But now they have turned. Okay? And when these things turn, they can become overwhelming and very fearful. I mean, to the point where you forget that God's in control. You can forget that God's in control. And all of a sudden, just like in this situation, they can come on you one after one, and you know, just it seems like they're just piling on. And I hate that it works that way, because we go through seasons in ministry and as a church where it seems like a year or two will rock on and everything's good, and then all of a sudden you'll have death after death after death, or sickness after sickness after sickness, or something after something, right? Financial situation, friend situation, job situation. We even left out the job, right? I probably shouldn't have left that out. Job's beneficial, right? It brings an income, insurance, stability, ability to buy things, but then all of a sudden you get a crazy boss, right? And all it takes is a crazy boss or three or four crazy coworkers, right? You ought to see the place I work. You'll get that when you leave. You'll get that later. Yeah, yeah. My boss is awesome, though. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Yeah. But I want y'all to get that. Listen, all these things are beneficial, but in time, the thing that you prayed for and said, praise God, I need this, I want. How many of y'all had ever prayed for a job and God gave you the job and then turn around and say, God, I hate this job? Amen? I mean, it's the same thing you prayed for. Man, I even was going so far as, like, God, let my job be like a ministry. I was an idiot. Oh, y'all didn't get that. I'll let your job be like a ministry. I'll let you work with a bunch of lost people, and you'll have to try to work with them. And they'll really see if you're a Christian, because if you can be a Christian on the job, anybody can be a Christian at church. Be a Christian on the job. That's where the rubber meets the road. If your coworker say, I believe she's a believer, I believe he's a believer, you're a Christian. Amen? Now, the ones I don't like is when, man, I can't believe I'm still on verse 1. We must have hit it right. God's right on this. When I got saved at my job, I called it Little Egypt. That's what I called it when I got saved, because it was Egypt to me as a place. But I was a sinner at work, a big time. You know, math running, this whole nine. When I first got saved, I changed. I started converting. And man, I would tell people, and I wasn't afraid to tell nobody, and I was afraid, I was living it. I was like, man, this is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I guess a couple months in, there was one machine that come up temporarily all the time, and there was a lady who worked on the back of it. Me and her would cut up, go back and forth. And what that means was we'd curse, we'd flirt, we'd do all, I just been transparent. We were just idiots, right? You know what I mean? I hope what can just be real with you. You know what I mean? Cuss, go on, flirt, go on, you know, talk, go on, both, you know, just the whole night. Well, when I got saved, I rolled up there, and first thing she says, you're just not the same. You don't cut up like you used to. And I'm like, oh, well, sis, listen, I want to cut up. And now this whole time, these rolls of carpet are flying off, and I got to pull them, and I got to take them to the truck and come back. So you got like 3 or 4 minutes between each roll. So I looked at her and said, well, it was, what happened was, is, see, I got saved, and, man, God has really changed. I'll be right back. You know? Now, listen, before, back in the day, that interchange, she'd stand there and be waiting, you know, and I'd stand there and be, I'd drive back up and want to hear what we had to say. Nick, you know, she's over there back in the room, gym working. I was like, all right, whatever, you know, I don't care. Praise the Lord, you know, I keep moving. She come back over and she goes, well, I didn't even know you needed to get saved. I go to church right over here at the little Baptist church over here. And I was like, and it came out of my mouth before I even thought to say it. I went, you go to church? That's exactly what I said. Before I could even think, it wasn't a thing I wasn't really mad at. I was like, I went, you went to church? Because what I was saying is, man, you let me live. I really said this. I said, you let me go on like this for years. You never said a word. Well, needless to say, our relationship ended. It was a strictly working relationship, and God was all right with that. Hey, man, I'm going to pick my carpet up, take back the truck, and pull it. It was over. But you know what? It hurt me that if she really didn't know Christ, why was she letting me go? I would have died. If I'd have died, I'd have went to hell for a fact. You understand what I'm saying? So when you get saved, when you truly get saved, it's important for important for others to know that you got saved, even if it's detrimental to your relationships. Man, how did we get there? I was just trying to show the benefits. I was trying to show the benefits of a job, right, and how they can become detrimental. And we should have been on point two by now. But this is me, right? When God takes over these things, I can tell, but it's not that ferocious Holy Spirit thing. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's not that ferocious one. Or we'd be running all over the aisles right now. Some of y'all are praying, and I feel you. Go let the Holy Spirit get loose. Let him loose. He might. You know what I'm saying? Let's go to verse 3. Now, look, we're not going to do this line by line. We're not going to go through the whole thing. I just want y'all to see some of the stuff that was the driving force of this message, some points that you can take away tonight that are nooks and crannies of this message. It kind of made it what it was, okay? And I want you to see it, and maybe you can do a Bible study off of it. Maybe you can help somebody else with it. Amen. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat, are y'all seeing that? Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast through all of Judah. Did y'all see that? Listen, when he got the news of these nations, his first response was a fearful response. I don't care. I don't really care what the response is. Amen? Because it can be anger. It can be frustration. It can be heartache. Or it can be fear. And usually I believe what this was an army with real warriors in it and real life and death. So are these other things that we talked about. But a lot of times fear is the root of all those other things. Are y'all good? Do y'all understand? Did I explain that good enough? If you got a lot of frustration, a lot of anxiety, a lot of anger, a lot of heartache, a lot of that is from a fear base anyway, right? Okay, so he was fearful, and he went to God because he was afraid. Does that understand? Do you understand that? He went to God because he was afraid. Is it okay to go to God when you're afraid? It better be. Amen? Well, I hear people, super spirit, super holy, super spiritual people. You should never fear. You should just fear. It shouldn't be in a Christian's vocabulary. Well, great. Reality is, we fear sometimes. And I'll be honest with you. I can be on a spiritual mountaintop and rocking and rolling, and I can say all day, I can say, man, God's good, I ain't worried about nothing. But then there's other times. Amen? In a certain situation, at a certain time, certain things happen, you go, whoa. Wait a minute, what is that? I mean, what is that right there, Lord? Right? So listen, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. Amen? And Judah gathered themselves together to help, to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Okay, I'm not going to go too much more into the scriptures. I want you to see this. The attitude he had. Guys, listen, you must change your attitude when you really need God. Amen? You've got to change your attitude. You've got to realize who God is and who you are and even who the enemy or whatever is bringing this fear into your life. You have to put them in the right places, and you've got to look. You've got to get the right attitude. What is that? I am nothing without God. Amen? His attitude was, God, I want to show you that you're more important than my food is. I want you to understand. He said, God, listen, I love fasting. I love prayer and fasting. And if you ask me how to, listen, it's a personal thing between you and God. But I want to tell you something. Fasting, the actual food and stuff like God, what it says to me is, God, I love you more than I love food. I'm so serious about this. I would rather have my physical man tired, miserable, starving, growling, weak, and insignificant other than my spirit man who's reaching out to you. I'm telling you, God, I want to hear from you more than I do for the dinner bell. Amen? It's an attitude. It's an attitude. And listen, I hate to tell you this, and when I say this, I'm not saying it to you, I'm saying it to us. I'm saying it to me. My attitude needs to change sometimes. Because sometimes when I get fearful, or if I get afraid, or if I get aggravated, or if something's going on in my life, I try to fix and do and operate and do all the other stuff before I go to God with an attitude of, you're the one in control. Amen? Listen, I would dare to say this in a crowd this size right here. There are probably a handful of people in here right now who've got one situation going on in your life that you're still wondering how you can fix the situation, and you have not went in the proper attitude to Christ and to God and said, God, you fix it. And when you say, what do you mean that proper attitude? God, I'm going to take my hands off of it. Here's where I'm going to do my battle. Can I tear that apart just a little bit for you, a little bit more? Jehoshaphat is what? He is a king. Okay, do you think he had different levels of government he could have went through to address the situation? He could have sent out dignitaries. He could have sent out an army. He could have sent out. He could have put out heads of state. You understand what I'm saying? He could have went out and tried to make a meet with it. Is there any way we can negotiate? Right? He's a king. But instead, I hope that y'all get this kind of stuff. He takes off his crown. You understand? Because his crown don't count. He takes it off. Takes off his righteousness, his robes, and then he backs away from. You got to get to understand this. We kind of live like this as Americans, but we don't live like a king could get up. The president of the United States could get up in the middle of the night and say, you know, I really want whatever meal. You know what I'm saying? I want beef stroganoff, man. I want that, and I want the best it's ever. Could you, matter of fact, wherever they invented that, can you send out for it? And somebody will be in a, you know, they're gone. Y'all don't believe that's true. They've got chefs in that White House who, if he gets up in the middle of the night and says, I want this, they're making it. That, a king would never have to worry about something to eat. So when they're sitting there going, what do you, I don't want anything. I want to get a hold of God. So it's his attitude, right? It's attitude. Let me say, I wrote these notes down. It's his, the placement. And you can't read my own handwriting. And I still can't read. All right. It's like, all right, his attitude, but his place, the placement. His place. Amen. Where did he go? Where do you go? He got in a place that was humble to God. He got amongst the crowd at the temple. Somebody, listen, I hear people all the time, I don't have to go to church, I don't have to be in a building, I don't have to this. Listen, no, you don't have to. But if you're desperate and you need God, you will go where God and God's people meet, because corporately people can get a hold of God. I'm going to be honest with you. You can stay at home and you can do whatever, but have you ever stayed home and stayed connected to God? It's rare. Can I go a step further? Yes, preacher, you may. Doing church at home gets weird. Because the last thing some people need to be is their own preacher. Amen? All right? Look, we just got real right there. I'm just being honest with you. I have met some people who say, I don't have to go, I do my own Bible study. And they're weird. Amen? They're weird. They open up the Bible and they got their own interpretation, and you're just sitting there going, I hate to tell you, but that's just plain out weird. Amen? Well, that's the way I understand it. Go to church. Get up under somebody who knows. Amen? Does that make sense? And some of y'all, everybody in this room, and me included, is wondering what that third point is. I'll get back to you on it. The only place in here that my wife should shout, amen, hallelujah, glory, because she knows how I write. That's just the way. Listen, there ain't no shame in my game. I don't care. I really don't care. All right, verse 4. Go to verse 9. Verse 9. Hopefully everything I wrote down in verse 9 is going to be good. Now you know how I live. Use the scriptures to pray. Look at this. Verse 9. If verse 9 is such a great place, where he gets this from is when Solomon dedicated the house of God. This is the prayer that he prayed. This is not that he was talking to the children of Israel. He said, if you ever get in a situation, and this is that prayer, amen. If you ever get in these situations, if the evil cometh when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thine house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. You know what he did? He took a scripture, amen? This is important, because we have the volume of the book. We have a Bible. He took a scripture from Solomon, what he heard got him speak of the Holy Spirit to God that's in the Bible, and he read it back to God. This is a powerful way to pray. Use scripture and talk back to God in his own word. God's not going to get mad at you. What it is, though, can I understand this? Do you know when you go to court, they will open up law books and they will say, on this date, this was written as a law. Now the judge who's sitting at the table will then understand and say, that is a written law and that is true. Golly, I hope I'm helping you with this right here. This is so good. Arthur's is so good. Sometimes when we have everything going against how we feel and even everything we know, it's good to read God's word to him, because the prayer is actually true and probably we don't believe it. Okay, let me go back. I want to show you. Verse 9. If when evil cometh upon us, listen, evil was there. When evil surrounds you, I guarantee you, you won't have all the great words to say. Amen? When the sword comes, the sword was there. Amen? When everybody's surrounded you and they've got swords and they're ready to go to battle and they're ready for you to die, listen, it's hard to sit there and go, God, I believe and I'm just trusting. I just love, you know. Lord, thank you for letting us. Your prayers are going to sound like mush. They're going to sound like, yes, help. It would be good if you could do what he did and say, God, remember when we made this temple and Solomon said, if we as a people ever come here and look towards this building and there's evil and there is, and there's a sword and there is, that you would help. And will you? You get it now? That's how you pray with Scripture. Amen? That's how you pray with Scripture. That's how you pray. You get in the Word of God and you show Him. God, I love you so much and I don't even feel saved today. I can't even feel that, like that song. I can't feel my soul. I can't feel you. I've not felt you. I've read the Word. I've prayed. I don't feel the Holy Spirit. I'm not moved by any sermon. I'm not moved by any book. I'm not moved by any song. God, I've been to church. Everybody else, the Holy Spirit's jumping all over them and I don't feel you. God, where are you? I sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Well, God, I hope and know that guess what? I'm sitting with you in heavenly places right now because I'm saved and I don't have to feel like it. Hey man, preacher, it's good. Thank you for putting some excitement in the Word. Do you see what I'm saying now? Sometimes you gotta throw the Word in there because it's not how you feel. It's not what you see. And it's definitely not what your prayer life. Because if you get shook hard enough, your prayer life changes a whole lot. And the things you say, they're not very spiritual and they're not very cool. You know what I mean? Golly, I wish I could. If you think somebody's dying and you love them, you get over and you say, don't die! Don't die! Right? Stay! And God, did you hear that prayer? Don't let them die. That's what it comes down to. And God likes that. He likes it because guess what? When you finally get over your old English gets chucked out and you start talking to them. We think we fool God with how good we sound. We don't. Look at this. I want to clarify. Verse 13. Oh, golly, I wanted this one so bad. I want y'all to get to verse 13. Verse 13. We only got two more verses. Everybody said, thank God. Two more verses. I'm just trying to give y'all a look at these verses that made this what it was. Amen? And all of Judah stood before the Lord. Is that y'all, what y'all are seeing? With their little ones, their wives, and their children. I taught this, I said this Sunday, and it came out, and man, it was something, right? And it's true. But what I want y'all to get this, I want y'all to hear what God was really pressing into my spirit on this. Because when I say that, I don't want you to think that Kevin, the pastor, don't like our youth programs. Or don't think children's church or this or that, we need to have them in here every Sunday for every service and everything. That's not really where I was going with it. And that's not where God's going with it. But as a church, when the Holy Spirit is rolling, when we know that the church needs help and we know God is showing up, it would be all right to cancel every youth thing that we have and pull them in here and let them be a part of it. Crying baby, handfuls of trouble, even if it's necessary. And sometimes it would be necessary. Do y'all really want the full measure of what that part of the message was about too? It's more about what you do at home than what's doing here. Amen? I'm being honest with you. When you're really going through something, do not hide it from your kids all the time. Amen? Because they need to see you in trouble, in distress, seeking God, and knowing that God answered and delivered. Because if all they seen was you in distress and then you get delivered, but you left the God thing out when they're in the distress, probably with the same thing, they're not going to know what you did. They're going to say, Mommy and Daddy were strong. When really the truth of it was, just like Jehoshaphat, Mommy and Daddy didn't have a clue. We just got before God and begged Him, and He showed mercy, and then He showed a way out. Are you understanding now? So I want you to see that. I want you to see there are going to be times when your kids and your wives and your husbands and your family need to see you do battle with God. To go into, I don't know what I'm doing, God help me. Amen? It's okay. You say, well, they'll be afraid. Listen, man, we have the most sanitized people group in the world today. We don't feel nothing. We've cleaned up the funeral home. Amen? We've cleaned up. I'm being honest. The way we do funerals today is so nobody grieves. 5 months later, it'll hit you. It'll hit you 5 months later because you don't get to grieve. Because we've sanitized it. We've made it fun. It's just easy. No. Church has been sanitized. 30 minutes, 20 minutes. No. Get out. You know, man, praise God. Where do we allow God to see us broken? Then to see Him fix us. And then to tell the next generation, I didn't get whole because Daddy was a good guy. I didn't get whole because Mommy was doing great. I got whole because I got a hold of Jesus, and Jesus got a hold of my troubles, and He told me what to do, and I did it. Y'all good? Y'all understand that part? Because, I look back on this message, and I'm thinking, man, there's so much more meat left. Our kids need to see us do battle. They need to see us fall, stumble, bleed. Amen? They need to realize, hey, they don't got all the answers. And at the same time, they need to know that church ain't just about them either. Whew, golly, I might get everybody mad at me on this deal. What's the most important thing to the church? You? No. Everybody. So everybody. You know what the great thing about this church is? What makes it great? It's like a family. You've got the oldest generation and the youngest generation and every age group in between loving each other, seeing each other, involved with each other, and that's what makes it great. Not one group is, oh, we better cater to them. We're catering to everybody. Amen? Yeah, they are the future, but guess what? Somebody's got to show them how to run it today. And praise God, be honest with you, I wouldn't mind some of them running with us. I tell them all the time, don't wait till the future, do it now. Fall with some help. It's easier to fall with some help. Fall with somebody standing next to you. Because if we're all gone, you're going to fall by yourself. Amen, preacher. 18, y'all ready? I'm promise you this is my last verse tonight, okay? I'm trying not to lie in church, too. I'm working on that. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat, right? And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Amen? I wrote this down. Hopefully I can read it. Real, true worship comes from prayer, not pleasure. You understand what I just said? Today in modern church, we think the more we shout, the more we raise, the more we move, the more we, and it's the song or it's this. Now listen, don't get that twisted. I love all that. But true worship usually comes out of a broken place. It usually comes out, I'm not going to say, it comes out of a prayer place and usually comes before God gives the answer or the outcome. I hope you heard what I just said. It becomes before God gives the answer or the outcome. The praise will come. It will come to the broken place. You will praise God in a broken place through prayer. Because guess what? First you'll be broken. You'll go to God in prayer. And while you're praying, your prayer will turn into praise because you will get an answer in the prayer. Amen? Now, the outcome of that prayer and the answer of that prayer might not come for a while, but then you can begin to praise. Listen, you have never seen anybody praise and praise God like somebody who's got a breakthrough in the worst time of their life. Amen? I've been doing this for a good long while now. I've been preaching for a good long while. I love good worship, and I know it's good. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. But have you ever heard somebody pray through to praise? When you hear it, you know you've heard it. Because, number one, it's a God thing. Number two, everybody in the house will go, "What was that? What was that?" Because that's different than just a good old feeling. That's somebody who got an answer, and it ain't here yet. Oh, gosh. It ain't here yet, but I trust Him that it's coming. And I can praise Him on credit because I know God's credit's good. Amen? That's where prayer, real praise. But that's real. Man, I'm telling you, when you get a hold of God, you pray and you pray and you pray, and God says, "I've not forgot that person you're praying about." Have you ever got one of them? I did an all-night prayer, so I lay in that prayer, had a list, had a whole list of people. And I run that list off every hour to God because we didn't have enough people to pray all night. 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, "Oh, here you go again, right here. Person number one." By the end of the night, you know what God said? "I know every one of them. I got them. Got them. You know who number one person on my list was at that time in my life? My mama. My mother. My mama used to call me after every time I preached for the first 5 years I preached and cussed me out for 30 straight minutes. If you don't believe me, you can ask her. Because she got to the point where she'd say, "I'll answer the phone when you get in the car." Amen? I got on an altar and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God told me, "I'm going to save her." You know when that happened? About 10 years later. I remember walking my mom into a recovery through a detox center. I walked her to the door, and she said, "Everything you've told me and everything you've said and everything you've prayed has gotten me to this place right now. Kevin, pray for me that I'll walk through this door." I said, "Mom, I'm praying for you, and I'll pray for you right here in this parking lot." We walked into that parking lot about 3 months later, 90 days later, we stood in her front yard, and she said, "I went down to an altar at a place, Rock Bridge Church. They sung a song, and that preacher preached a message, and I walked down there." She was standing in her front yard, and I asked Jesus to be my Lord. And I said, "Mom, do you notice that you're pointing at yourself when you're saying that?" She goes, "No, I didn't even realize it." Amen? I began to praise God way before my mom got saved, way before the messages changed. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's a whole different praise. And then after He does it, and you know somebody's already in heaven ahead of you, amen, when you already know they're in heaven, and all that, man, that's praise. Amen, that's praise. I just want you to know, listen, guys, pray through. That's something the modern church, I don't know when we stopped. Salvation is a free gift. But sometimes you got to pray through some stuff. And sometimes that takes a while. Sometimes it takes multiple times. And you sit there and think, "Well, man, people are going to think I'm a basket case if I stay on that altar." I really don't care what people think. You know who's going to have more problems when you get done with God? Them, not you. Amen? Them, not you. They'll still be wondering why everybody's going. Amen? Let's all stand. Matter of fact, somebody come get a song. I just feel like maybe God want to do business with somebody.